I'm Laura Bernstein-Macklin. This is 8 crashes, 1 thud. You guys are actually going to get 3 of the crashes. You're still getting the thud. 2 boys zigzagging. This one's the thud, unbearable, the impact noise of child and colossal machine. Does it matter that only one brother doesn't run fast enough when they weave between parked cars and zoom across Bagley Street, that main drag of Mexican Village on Detroit's southwest side? Does it matter I'm 7 months pregnant and craving gorditas, little fat girls with pico de gallo, rooster's beak? What the cop says to me, the mean one. Were you speeding? Were you drinking, drugging? This at 10 in the morning with my belly protruding like a basketball, while everyone hunches at the curb waiting on the ambulance, while I wail like a tornado siren, far louder than the child clutching his leg, the mom rocking back and forth. What the cop says to me, the nice one, you need to stop. It's not good for the baby. Anyway, these things happen. 1 broken ankle. What the mom tells husband Stephen later that night when I beg him to call for news. It wasn't so bad, really, she says. And maybe he'll learn this time, but probably not. Two months. Daughter Celia's age when I, postpartum crazy, no sleep crazy, terrified of my baby crazy, slam the car in front of me on the freeway, then get slammed from behind in the rain and route to therapist Mala. Even as I know what she'll say, how all mothers wound their daughters eventually. Forgive yourself ahead of time, toss 9 of 10 of the how-to books and just get on with things. But there's my miserable daughter who cries all the time, who vomits the formula I have to give her because my milk won't come in. Even though Leleche has been to my house and manipulated my nipples every which way, even though they've taped tubes to my breasts so Celia can get the full sucking experience, so she can stare into my eyes from the proper distance while I sob like a deluge. On that day, my friend's mother comes to watch Celia. Such a thriving, happy baby, she coos. I look at the puking thing and I can't see it. Perhaps she's happy for other people, I decide, which sends me out the door that much quicker. Never mind, I haven't slept 10 minutes in the last 5 days. Never mind, I'm afraid to touch my baby for fear of breaking her. Not that I arrive to that safe place with its new age tchotchkes and photos of Mala's grandkids. There's the gravel rattling in my skull, my sandpaper eyelids blinking, blinking. There's the skid across wet asphalt like a carpet torn from beneath me and the inexorable crash. The cops who watch while I'm stuck sideways in the road, who don't bother to move till another car bashes into me minutes later. How I watch it coming, clench every muscle against certain collision. I wait, it comes. The cars are all goners to the scrapyard for them. We're all 3 sore, but the other drivers seem unbroken. I am broken to start. 15 years old. I take teenager Celia driving when she gets her permit. I consider all likely calamities, give careful directions ahead of time. In a block, click your left blinker and move slow and steady into the center lane. Make sure to look first, don't rely on mirrors. When the car jerks, I say, it's okay, it happens to all of us. When someone honks, I say, can't please everyone. When we're set to cross 8 Mile at the road turnaround, I see cars coming fast from the right and don't think to say, don't go, wait till they pass. You have all the time in the world. And when the truck hits us because it can't help it, because we drive directly in its path. We spin twice and come to rest at the mouth of a side street. The back end of my Nissan gone, just gone. Groceries in its trunk flung like confetti in all directions, across the sidewalk and nearby lawns. So we're surrounded with puddles of milk, with pita slices like abandoned frisbees, dish soap sleeking someone's calla lilies, hunk of salmon huddling where a back tire should be. I'm sorry, says Celia. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm thinking, if it happened a second sooner, just a second. But it's all right, I say. We're okay. Are you okay? When she nods, I say again, we're okay. You're all right. Nothing else matters in the world. And the cops, when they come, are kind. Do you have to write her a ticket? I ask. Nice cop number one shrugs and whistles. What's the point? Says nice cop number two. 3 days after I get my new car. First new car I've ever owned. Blue, blue, electric blue. I had to do that. Low and kind of sleek. Sleek as the mom of a teen can aspire to. We won't eat in this one, I tell Celia. We'll bring any garbage directly in the house. No stickers on the windows. Mom, I was 7, says Celia. We're 2 blocks from her school, stopped on a red when there's a thunk and we jar forward. Not hard enough to set off the new airbags, but still. We pull onto the shoulder and I get out, examine the little dent, the scratches. I wave my arm in the air like a squid. I want to shake my fist because it's been 3 days and already my car is broken. But there's a kid, high school kid, and he's putting his hands over the front of his glasses and saying how sorry he is, how he's never done this before, how his mom will be so angry, his dad disappointed. And I find myself saying, it's okay, a little thing, it hardly matters. Then I tell him this secret, how everything breaks, breaks down, breaks to pieces, dust to dust, even for the luckiest of us. Even as we occasionally speed it along. But never mind, mechanics, like doctors, are skilled. And for what's broken beyond repair, something else always comes. Not in its place, not the same, but still. And how, for all of us, that's got to be enough.